I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. This week, we got the sad news that Aiko Hirsig Yoshinaga died. She was a key player in the Japanese-American redress movement of the 1980s. Hirsig Yoshinaga was the researcher who uncovered key documents that eventually forced the U.S. government to apologize for the detention of Japanese-Americans during World War II. Years later, this is how she described her work.
I took it upon myself to do what some people call unnecessary extra work, but I documented everything I got exactly where I found it. What file, what box, what record group, and everything else, so that when the commission wrote its report, people couldn't say, how can that be? Here's proof.
The late Aiko Hirsig Yoshinaga, speaking there in 2009. That clip is courtesy of Densho, a nonprofit dedicated to documenting the Japanese-American experience. Nina Wallace is Densho's communications director. She's in Washington. So, Nina, more than 100,000 Japanese-Americans were sent to camps across the U.S. during World War II. Some have called them internment camps, and in a moment we'll get to the language of all this and why that was so important to Hirsig Yoshinaga. But there was a formal compensation, an apology to Japanese-Americans from the Reagan administration in 1988. Would you say that that was largely thanks to Hirsig Yoshinaga's research?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Aiko was the lead researcher for the Congressional Commission that investigated the forced removal and the incarceration of Japanese Americans during World War II. So she put in, 50, 60, 70-hour weeks in the National Archives investigating the government's documents on this, trying to expose what really happened. And she was responsible for finding what was really considered a smoking gun that supported that redress passage. She found a military document that admitted that there was no military necessity to remove Japanese Americans from the West Coast. And that was the basis of the Civil Liberties Act and the issuing of redress checks to Japanese Americans.
You tweeted at the New York Times recently saying to fix the headline of their obituary on Aiko Hirsig Yoshinaga. What did they write and what issue did you take with the way they wrote it?
So I do have mixed feelings about it. I was really glad to see the New York Times cover her and, honor her memory, because she was just such a huge figure in the community. And, her importance really can't be understated. Using that word, so in their headline, it says that, Aiko was a, critic of the wartime internment. In a way, she was a critic, because she was a critic of that terminology. This is a woman who, dedicated 40 years of her life to exposing the truth about Japanese American incarceration. And that includes the language that we use to describe that experience. And so for someone who, was so passionate about shining light on that history and exposing the truth and talking directly about what happened, it feels disrespectful to sort of use her name to perpetuate some myths about that history. I would like to see the New York Times reflect and respect the work that she put in by using the information that she helped to spread.
Nina, what do you call these camps? What should we all call them?
I call them concentration camps. And I understand that it is a sort of contentious term for some people. A lot of times when we hear that term, what we immediately think of is the concentration camps in Nazi Germany and in Nazi-occupied territory during World War II. So for a lot of folks, there is that connection to the Holocaust. When I use that word, when Densho uses that word, it is the preferred terminology for a lot of Japanese American organizations and individuals. When we use that term, it's not to try to equate what happened to Japanese Americans during World War II to, what happened during the Holocaust. But it's really just to use the correct terminology to avoid euphemisms and to call things as they are. So during World War II, FDR, very high-level government officials, they referred to these sites where Japanese Americans were imprisoned as concentration camps. The use of internment or, you know, relocation center, some of these euphemisms that we hear today, those came about later on. And so those are really sort of rewriting history. They don't reflect what actually happened and what these places were called at the time.
So in respect to Herceg Yoshinaga, we should not use the euphemism internment camp, but also for the descendants of people who died in concentration camps in Germany, it gets confused there, it gets conflated. How do you square that circle?
I think even in that case, you know, concentration camp, you could argue, is a euphemism there, because what happened at those sites, those were death camps. You know, those were places that were set up specifically to engineer a genocide. So I think that, you know, across the board, we should be using language that reflects what really happened.
The stories we've heard from these camps where Japanese Americans were sent in the U.S. during the war, they're filled with tales of misery and dehumanization. What stands out for you from Herceg Yoshinaga's experience and what she took forward into the rest of her life?
I think for me, what really stands out when we think about Aiko's story is that, you know, she didn't just accept what happened and sort of forget about it and, you know, try to just kind of keep quiet, which is what a lot of people did and, you know, was a survival tactic for a lot of folks. But what's really unique about Aiko is that, you know, she said, no, like, I am going to stand up for myself. I'm going to find out what really happened. I'm going to tell the world what the government did to me, what my own government did to me. You know, so often when we hear stories about Japanese Americans or, you know, specifically about Asian American women, there's sort of this idea that, you know, we are quiet, that we don't raise our voices, that, you know, we have to sort of make ourselves small. And so to see Aiko, you know, just really being such a huge monumental figure is really powerful.
How will you remember Aiko Herceg Yoshinaga?
Oh, I mean, she's such an inspiration. I think that just her commitment to her community, her commitment to justice, not just for Japanese Americans, but, you know, for anyone who is being targeted, anyone who is marginalized, you know, just because of who they are. I think that, you know, that is her legacy, just to, you know, to do what is right, you know, even if it's not the easy thing, do what's right.
Nina Wallace with Densha, the Japanese American Legacy Project, speaking with us from Washington. Thanks very much, Nina, for helping us remember Aiko Herceg Yoshinaga.
Thank you.